bet 100 on myself. I've been all alone, ain't never need nobody else. I'm at the top floor, sipping margaritas off the shelf. Wish I had some competition, but it ain't.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, depending on when you are consuming. This is Props and Drops with Gary Vaynerchuk and Matt Kalish, with the occasional interruptions from the Herm. I hope you are well. I am well because the Jets are 2-2, and I see some life in the NFT, sports cards, trading cards, sneakers, comic books world, and thus I'm excited for this show, especially because Kalish's Patriots are in last place, which makes me very, very happy. Kalish?
Celtics, though. I mean, back in season, I have all the distraction from the pathetic Boston Red Sox, pathetic Patriots. I don't know what the Bruins are going to do, but I'm ignoring it.
Well, the Celtics are off to a good start. They're wonderfully successful. First-year head coaches had a real dilemma, and I don't think that's not the vibe of how we do things, but obviously that's like going to be challenging for the team to overcome having a new coach. That's like a real thing. You know, maybe they're off to having a bad season, which would be tremendous for me as a Knicks fan, wearing my little Knicks collab sweatshirt today. I'm excited. I think my Knicks are going to be good. Things are coming up for New York sports. Herm, 3-1 Giants. Let's let you in here for a second. We've decided a new rule. Herm, you don't know about this. Me and Kalish had a meeting. You're not allowed to talk on the show anymore unless we call on you. So we'll call on you here now and say, you know, Herm, how 3-1 Giants, pretty happy for you. All week wins. Like, everyone knows they're kind of a paper.
Can I get in or no? Are you going to keep going?
I finished my thing. Okay. Everyone's fairly aware that they're a paper 3-1, and like probably strength of schedule may let you get into the playoffs with a disastrous loss in the first round of the playoffs. But like, how are you feeling?
First of all, if we make the playoffs, I'll be so happy.
I agree.
I feel good. I'm very excited about Saquon. Our line on both sides, very bad. Real bad. Very stressful.
All of a sudden, and I knew this as a Jets fan, all of a sudden people realize immediately what Leonard Williams means to the run defense. He gets dinged up and they just run down your throat.
I agree, even me, considering your connection. I guess the thing I can't figure out is if Daniel Jones is good or not.
What's your gut tell you?
I think he's extremely athletic, but he's not. It's probably how you feel. It's how I'd feel if I were you.
You definitely feel worse about Daniel than I feel about Zach, who in his 14th game drove two back-to-back touchdown drives in Pittsburgh, including telling the team in the huddle, let's go score a fucking touchdown.
I think they're the same guy.
Yeah. So I know both of them extremely personally well, and I will tell you right now, they are uncomfortably different. That was actually the worst hot take in the history.
I think they're the same football player.
There's not one actual person that knows anything about football that would agree with you.
All right, let's see you in a couple years.
Zach Wilson's arm talent is not even in the same stratosphere as Daniel Jones, and anybody that's even, you look at Kalish, who's knowledgeable, but even if you were less than Kalish knowledgeable, you would know what I'm saying. By the way, Zach may not have a tremendous professional career, this, that, and the other thing, but to compare Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones as football players is wild. You may say at a very macro level, they'll win the same amount of games. Fine, that could be a take, but as football players, they're wildly different. Zach Wilson not only can make every throw on the field, which Daniel can't, he can do it in such a weird way that's effortless. Zach's arm talent gets into that weird Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes-y land. Daniel Jones is more in a Sam Darnold arm talent, which is good. There's nothing wrong with it. They're both solid in their legs. I think Daniel's even more solid with his legs, but their demeanors are totally different. Like Zach's so much more swaggy than Daniel's more Eli. Zach is more, I don't know.
I think it's more of, I would say they're not Herbert. They're not Mahomes. They're not Allen. They're not Rodgers.
Daniel 100% isn't. I would argue that Zach hasn't played enough games to say that's true, and actually played a game last week in Pittsburgh off of, by the way, no preseason and tons of rust, that knowing Josh Allen's career very well, because I was petrified that he was going to be good, his second season, He just got marginally decent. Like, I know a lot about Josh Allen's career as a sports card collector and as someone who knows him a little, who thinks he's a good guy, but hates him because he's a Bill. Josh Allen showed you nothing his rookie year that was exciting. His second year got solid, and year three is when stuff started to really click. Oh, by the way, midway through year three, it started to really click. So I would argue you're right about Daniel. He's not Justin. He's not Josh. I would argue very different about Zach. I think Zach's game last week was electrifying in the fourth quarter. And now that he has talent around him and Garrett Wilson and Eli, by the way, he may throw too many picks. He may be that guy.
I mean, I'm not anti the Jets. I like the Jets.
I know you're not.
I would love if he's successful.
Let me throw another curveball at you. Daniel Jones might be my favorite human being in the NFL. We recruited him very heavy at Vayner. He was sports. He was in that office right there twice. His father's the best. I love him as a human being. He's not been atrocious. Like, he's been way better than what Sam Darnold ended up being. I think to your point, he's definitely not Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, but I would argue that it's going to be very hard for Zach Wilson to be that. But I would argue we can't write that story yet. Whereas with Daniel, you can. And I do think they're very different football players. Kalish, can you jump in here as a third party?
Yeah, I think that's the key point is Daniel Jones is very unlikely to just suddenly become really good at football. Although he's not terrible at football, he just doesn't produce the yards and score points at the same frequency as the league quarterback. So I just think he's not there. And then, Zach is much more nebulous. Like, what will he become? And I would have said the same thing about Mac Jones, but he's just like less dynamic and exciting to me. And Zach, like, I think the swag in New York is very helpful as well. I always am a sucker for like a New York.
I think extremes in New York work. I actually think Daniel's style works. I think the Daniel Eli, like, completely cerebral, like, kind of like, but you have to be one of those two extremes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
the 18th best quarterback in the draft every year, it seems like. And could he get to be like top 15? Maybe, but he's probably never like top 10. Not to write somebody's whole career off, but Daniel Jones, I mean, like, he's just never going to be like top 10.
I'm starting to get to that place where we can agree that Daniel's going to struggle to get to top 10. Zach could be out of the league in 4 years, but the arm talent, I'm a degenerate football fan and a degenerate Jets fan. Like, Zach's arm talent freaks me out. Like, I'm not even accustomed to the level of like the zip and the placement. It's weird. And the Jets offensive line is in shambles. We had our right guard, left guard play left tackle. We've got like guys that, I mean, it's insane to me that he had those two touchdown drives to end the game. But listen, do I think Zach can come out this week against the Dolphins and throw four picks and all the excitement can go away? 100%. He's too raw right now.
But it is October, and you and I are both excited about being in football in October.
Well, the Jets lost 13 straight games in September. The last three seasons, it was over before it started, right?
The Giants are the same boat.
Yeah, I'm beside myself. Like, I don't even know what to do. I'm going to walk to MetLife Stadium on Sunday to tailgate at 6 a.m., against the Dolphins. I'm too excited to take public transportation or a car. I'm going to walk.
Yep. Let's vlog that. All right. We're going to transition into drops. We'll come back to the props.
Got it.
Drops. I want to do a quick week 4 Rainmakers NFL recap. Matt, can you take us through the week 4 results? Then we have a nice special guest we'll introduce.
Long story short, there was this game called Detroit versus Seattle that kind of dominated things. There was like 100 points scored or something. You really wanted to have certain people from that game. Like, you wanted Geno Smith, or you wanted Jared Goff, you wanted Hockenson, the tight end. Like, so there was a little bit of like a game stack kind of situation going on there. And so that was kind of the big story. But then a lot of other studs showed up, like Cooper Kupp and some of the usual suspects, I think, scored in the 30-point fantasy range. So combo of like superstar with game stack was kind of like the thing. And that definitely showed up in the winner of the V-Friend League. So Hockenson made the cut on that lineup. What do you have, Herm?
42.9 points.
Woo! Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, and the winner won an exclusive NYC experience with our very own Gary Vee.
Epic.
I am Gary Vee, and I am NYC.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Intro, Matt. I'm sticking with you. We have a guest. His name is Stronk.
Yes, indeed.
Great name. Sup Ducks, Megatoads, King Frogs, Sly Croc, got the works. Matt, you want to properly intro?
I would love to. Yeah, we talked about on the podcast in the past Sup Ducks a decent bit, which was really, really cool project in PFP land. Popped up about a year ago, I believe was the mint, right, Stronk?
Yeah, it was July 17th last year.
Yeah, so a little over a year. Built up a really great community, and like with Rainmakers, we were just talking about the V Friends League, of course, and about other sort of things in the Web3 world, like giving away NFTs to some of the most popular projects in contests, and just getting closer to some of like the best communities in Web3. So Sup Ducks definitely fit the bill for that. One thing we had never done is a sort of profile, like a PFP drop on DraftKings, like a one-of-one unveil, randomize attributes, let people kind of customize their identity on DraftKings, but also bring the kind of utility that, through our games that we've been offering. So Stronk and team and some people on the DraftKings side put together Sly Crocs, which is our first ever PFP drop. And I wanted to kind of maybe hash it up with you a little bit about that process.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. Yeah, so like when did you have your first convo with DraftKings team, like origin story of the project would be maybe a good place to start?
Honestly, it's been the works for quite a while. I want to say even maybe 6 months or even longer. But I had a friend, B-Love, and he introduced me to Brian McNutt, who works for you guys. And me and Brian just kind of hit it off right off the bat. And, he explained a little bit about, what DraftKings was working on and their vision for what NFTs could be. And, I just felt like we were, we were kind of aligned in what we could build together. And we sort of just hit the ground running.
Yeah. Talk about the Sly Crocs project specifically. Like, how does it play into the kind of overall ecosystem of Sup Ducks? And then, like, what are the specific attributes around Sly Crocs that, if you're a DraftKings player, that, utility or other things that would enable?
So, and Frankie has a very, diverse world in the Sup Ducks universe with a lot of different characters. And one of the ones he had mentioned before was Sly Crocs. And when I was talking to, your team about what we could, do together, like that character just stuck out to me as just perfect. And, in terms of, like one thing that we didn't do in our drop is actually take some of the select traits and provide additional utility for those. And your team was actually big on trying that, and I was very excited. And so we've sort of handcrafted some of the traits to fit in line with, potential benefits associated with those.
Very good. So we got a good committee of NFT project founders, builders, whatever, here on the pod. Like, what's your thoughts on the market right now, just as a founder who's been like in the mix operating for over a year? Like, how are you reading things right now in crypto and NFTs, and like how have you kept focused throughout all of the conditions, up, down, good, bad?
And I know a lot of folks don't particularly enjoy when the market's more in a bear phase, but honestly, from my perspective, I think some of the more interesting things that get developed happen during this time. And, it's probably going to still be a few cycles before, blockchain technology is, ubiquitous in our daily lives. And so, this opportunity gives us, space to put our heads down and innovate. And then eventually when the excitement comes, that's also positive because, some developers that hadn't considered blockchain may do so at that time. And, it brings a whole new talent pool. So I personally kind of enjoy the cycles, and I know a lot of people don't, but that's my take on it.
Yeah, Stronk, I think that's a really good observation. I think you look at internet 2000, 2004, so many of the rails, pun intended, you know, were created during that time. I remember thinking about Friendster and I was like, ooh, this is different. Or like Blogger, you know, you think about what Friendster and Blogger and Flickr and Delicious and Slashdot and Metafilter that led to Dig, that led to Reddit, like what we trade on culturally today on the internet, those things happen in the down cycle of internet stock valuations. We're in a down cycle of NFT valuations, but that doesn't mean blockchain technology isn't rearing behind the scenes on meaningful work. So I think that take is right. And it's, to your point, it's painful for the people that overextended themselves. One of the reasons I made so many videos last summer of like 99% are going to zero, and everybody was kind of like not super pumped with me of like, why are you FUDing? I'm like, I'm not FUDing. I just think a lot of people don't have never been through this. And like, this is where I think it's going. And I'm really glad I did that because I get an email almost every day of people like, you really saved my ass or this and that. But I think your point in the macro is well taken. What's most surprised you about the last 100 days in this bear market? If I said, what most surprised you? I'd be really interested to see what your answer to that question is.
Honestly, like, you know, the other thing that kind of happens in the bear, you know, the people that, you know, are either in it for the right reasons or, you know, real supporters, you know, they start to sort of reemerge. And, you know, honestly, I sort of feel that subtle momentum coming back with, you know, people focusing on the actual community aspect of NFTs. And so just like in our Discord personally, you know, the interaction between everybody that sort of were there from the beginning is coming back, and it's, you know, becoming a lot more robust. I think, I almost think the relationships are starting to develop and be a little bit more rich. So just, you know, the people that were there are there and they're coming back. And I think, you know, that's exciting and positive for me.
Oh, did you ask me what I thought of the last 100 days, Gary, Matt? All right, I'll give you my thoughts. I think what's, yeah, no problem. Your facial expressions just say, oh my God, I love this.
No, actually, Herm, I actually think you can bring a ton of value because you're not quote unquote as deep, but you're on the outer layer, but aware. And so I think you have a great, great point of view that can bring a lot of value to this conversation. That. So Herm, please pontificate.
Great. I think what's interesting is, you know, Gary, has anybody ever followed Gary, he talks about arbitrage of attention a lot. Yes. And I think about that a lot too. And obviously Matt does too in our industry. I think the thing that's the most interesting to me in the last 100 days is you look at how amazing it is, like, all the attention that was on NFTs and how that could just shut off. Like OpenSea, in terms of just site traffic, OpenSea was up there with like Instagram or like Gmail in terms of how often you used or went on or looked at rankings or looked at the floor price or just, you know, expressed some sort of FOMO in the market. I think the most interesting part about the last 100 days is how OpenSea, for the most part, has shut off. Like I've not been on in weeks. I go on because I'm in the show and I'm just curious about reading something. But I would say for the vast majority of people that are not the diehard community members that are, you know, posting in Discord, I think it's amazing how this like energy is just shut off. And it's just this like volume of people have almost moved on.
Market next. Apathy is at a near high. Actually think it was around Father's Day. If I had to pick a day that was peak of market apathy, I would have said it was Father's Day, which I think is right around when Gary went on and copped that 3D glasses beanie CryptoPunk. Yeah. And I just remember looking at this and I'm like, what's going on here with this price? Like, how are you getting this price? I feel like that was the low. Like Ethereum was under $1,000. Nobody was touching NFTs with a 1,000-foot pole. Right? So that was probably like low. I have sensed a little bit of like momentum, but I feel like it's cautious momentum.
I think there's momentum in NFT land of like the smart characters are bubbling. I think the issue is the smart characters also know that the global economy might be in deep, deep, deep shit. So you might be right. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, last night, ironically, no different than that little window where I was like, oh, fuck. I literally got a hoodie, a 3D glasses, and another one I wanted in like this little window. As soon as I saw ETH go under 1,000, I said, this is my moment. Cause that's just like a, like, I knew that would fuck with people. And I like, there's a moment there. I actually last night for the first time in like 2 months went to go buy some punks. I was like, where are we at? Right. Yeah. And what, A, we weren't low enough to get me like super like this is, and then B, I was like, ugh, FedEx, Russia's about to turn off all the energy in Europe, like the election, like the housing market, I think is gonna get slaughtered. Like, I'm like, we might really be getting into one here. Like 2023 might be ugly. And like, if it's ugly, CryptoPunks is the last thing people are thinking about if a big corporation in America lays off 13,000 people in December. So, but for me, I'm like, I'm really hopeful that I can time it, you know, and like I think CryptoPunks is a forever asset. And so like, I want to buy it every time there's a moment.
Yeah. 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 It's hard not to pay attention. I have a bid out right now on a punk. It's tough to just not pay attention to the historicals and like the top, call it 10 to 20 modern projects always. Like, it's really worth the time. But like, I get the high degree of skepticism for new projects, and I also get the fatigue of like drop after drop of nonsense that just kept coming. That was clearly like all the derivatives, all the random like rug pull weird things. Even like outside of NFTs, there's a lot of strange kind of a crypto Ponzi, like a OHM forks and things that for a minute there were basically all were scams. But if you were just like the first one to do it, then you probably did all right. Like any Ponzi scheme, you know? So there's like a lot of distrust from just thing after thing, I think just not being legitimate and just so much fatigue. So I do get the apathy and that being said, at a minimum, like pay attention to the top projects. Some of them are pretty cheap right now. There's some really, really good quality teams that are active and like, you know, that they're going to be around in a couple of years, or at least like they probably will. And you're looking at maybe like 15 to 20% of the price of what it would have been 6 months ago. It's pretty nice. Like, if you liked it then, I don't really know what's so different, to be honest. Like, why not now? Your money will go a lot farther. What have you actually bought in the last few? Like, for me, I finally got a World of Women, a Night Goddess. So that was one on the list that I just could never find. I texted Gary when I got it. So something just popped up. So what I added.
But there was also, was there a zombie or an ape that was bought? There was something massive that was bought in that same window. And her and Kalish, both of us have been so fucking busy, so we haven't been yapping as much as I wish we were. And he just pinged me on something, and I was like, holy fuck. Yeah. Kalish went crazy and bought, was it an ape with the hoodie?
Yeah, it was like a 3,300 ETH crypto book sale.
I was like, you maniac. He's like, no. Actually, how much did you get your goddess for?
I got it for 8.
Oh!
Oh my God.
Great job.
Yeah, it was a little private fire sale situation. I couldn't say no.
Nice work.
Yeah, I got some historicals. I got like Spells of Genesis stuff.
Yep.
Trying to get another punk. Like, you can kind of pick the spot though. It's a buyer's market, let's be honest. Like, I think you can be selective and pick your spot for the time being. I don't know how long that will last. Like, at some point, if there's momentum and just underlying kind of like growth of everything is going up, 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 maybe it won't feel that way. But like right now, I feel like you can be pretty selective, pick spots. I got another Cool Cat. I got like, I don't know, man. I've just been tacking on little things here and there when I see it.
I love it, brother.
I've been buying some like different projects where I frame the picture of it and I put it in my daughter's room.
So that's really cool.
kind of like fun. So like after this, Strong, I'm definitely picking out two subducks to add to this. But like the Heart Project is one that I've always liked, and like cute for like, you know, girls' rooms or stuff like that. I think it's kind of
would be great in a girls' room. A practical peacock plushie. I really do think your daughter is very practical.
I'm waiting for the the influencer box sent to me.
Is this why the Gratitude Gorilla was pumping? Was it because the Gratitude Gorilla is one of the Macy's characters? Yep. Like the best Matt, one.
Solid pick of the Gratitude Gorilla.
No one, by the way, that was random luck. Nobody liked
it. Yes, it was. It wasn't. Well, Gary had to obviously knew
this
when
one. I
it.
Think would be great in your daughter's room. Be the bigger person. If she has your DNA, she's gonna have to learn that in life. So you might as well start earlier.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, seeing your, that's a Tom Sachs rocket behind you. Is that one of those?
Yeah. The one that shot up, my Lisa Simpson.
Yeah. Just to be clear, I have like 42 rockets in the mail.
I know. We're deep Tommy Sachs, you and I.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, man.
But scary. This is why, like, Tom's like a real contemporary artist. Like, if you're back to being Skronk, and he made such a great point. You actually either really believe in this, or you were here for a couple of hours to try to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, like, cool. Like, by the way, all our interest, like, everyone's allowed to do it. It's, you know,
yeah.
Capitalism is.
And that second audience never actually goes away, no matter what. It just maybe like there's less.
Pumped about it. Anyway, all right, Herm. Yeah. Herm, you've been playing with this earplug the whole time. Do you really need
it? I'm trying to look official, but I'm not on video. I don't know how else to hear this.
You can hear without the earplug?
No, it's stuck.
Oh, okay, well, keep doing it.
Strong, I feel like you have anything else for us? Not to put.
Let's talk legit, just in case you're like, what is all cool abstract convo? What's going on? So. The drop of Sly Crocs is on October 11th, right?
Yep.
And then utility-wise, like, there's a bunch there. The first big kind of thing is week 6 football contest, right? You can win subducks, cash, a mixed bag of stuff. Only Sly Croc PFP owners are in that contest, right? Right. Anything else to add on that? Like, it's not very hard. People, like, you go on drops page, you can get in the game. But, like, anything you'd want to add?
Yeah, and I can't remember exactly if it was public or not. So I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say it or not. But, yeah, there will be additional utility for, again, some of the traits on the Crocs. And so that's going to drop soon. So that's a little bit of alpha, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what's next. Like when you get the super rare, like, you know, those attributes that everybody seek out, just tying utility to attribute, I think is definitely a like bigger NFT thing. More and more, I think you'll be seeing that kind of stuff. And it's cool that that's like embedded in the design here. Awesome, man. Yeah, look forward to bringing that to market. I think everybody will really like the art too, like the Crocs. We should put something like post just to show like the art. It's really, really cool. I think people will enjoy it. You'll probably be seeing it everywhere, Twitter, whatever, you know, anybody who is kind of into subducks, I think it'll be perfect. So like really, really cool expansion to the franchise.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Strong, thank you so much for joining.
Well, I appreciate you guys for having me.
Appreciate it, man. Good seeing you.
Seeing you, man.
Hey, brother.
Okay, boys. The swift transition back to props. Are we done with drops?
Whatever you want.
Okay, I think we're done with drops. I feel like we.
I want to get nicely. Like the what's going on in sports cards because I.
Oh, let's go.
Intrigued, and I bit my tongue, but like I was intrigued by the lead.
But what's going on is it's a fairly healthy, stable market. Like players that are playing well are doing well, and players that are not doing well aren't. Like Mac Jones cards go down if he's hurt. Trey Lance cards are in real trouble because people are smart. They're like, all right, well, nobody's going to get shit until next September. Let me liquidate here. Zion comes into shape. You see people moving. Like, it's a very, like, I would argue, you know, you see the volumes on NFTs. Cards are stronger. There's more activity. Some of the scale stuff, like base card prisms, are not moving the same way. but the real stuff is really strong and the super real stuff is extremely mm-hmm. strong, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. So like the high grade.
B-Friends cards on eBay. Have you looked at this, Kalish? Herm, have you looked at
it? Like it was like a few thousand dollars for the Series 1 box. What's the current market?
You just told me to open up my box.
I did.
I didn't. I only opened up one pack. I'll do the next one next time I'm home.
But like, here's like an example. I'm looking at it right now. Here it is on my screen. Like, I don't know, like a Series 2 box just sold for $300 today, right? Like a single V-Friend, $13 from a pack. Like.
Damn.
Like $20 for the Practical Peacock base card, base, raw. Like the number, like it's really like real, like 300 for the Black Cat base, raw, 300. Like it's really happening. This is all today, by the way.
Yeah, so you just follow the eBay sales feed pretty much and keep up that way.
Yeah, this is just V-Friends. But you know, the reality is like, it's just trading cards are doing well.
I got a question that people are thinking about if they're watching the video of this. That nod you just gave to somebody who passed by, Gary, yes. Did you know that person or no?
So that person
seem like you really did.
I know him very well. So it's Quez. He's the hottest Atlanta rapper going. Like I'm talking like Gunna DaBaby. Like this is a fun moment in our podcast because in 3 years when everybody understands who the fuck this is, this is gonna be another moment where like Herm once again is not cool.
Oh god. All right, back to this.
You walk into it, you're trading like, cards. I didn't want anything bad to happen to you. I didn't want that to happen. You walked into that. You like wanted to say something. I was being cordial because my guy came through. He's gonna be
just
massive.
Clip it. Go back to the head nod of Gary. It looked forced. I'm just telling you what the people are seeing. It looked like you didn't really know
what
the guy.
People, you mean one guy?
Clip it. Bring it back. Sorry.
A redheaded, cynical clownfish thought it was that.
Yeah,
I'm holding on to that clownfish.
Send me the clownfish. I'll send you the cynical cat because that's who you are right now. That was a very loving one. I don't know why you were mad at my head now.
Nope, clip it. Go back.
All right.
Back to this.
Herm is like playing up Kalish for his 6.5 friends and fans. That like Herm gets one person that says he has to have his own podcast on Twitter once in 3 years, and now he thinks he's LeBron James.
Just make the content. Just keep making content. See where it takes you.
Matt, I'm glad you brought this up. So,
Hold on. Andrew's showing me something. Hold on. Would you watch a solo podcast with just Herm? This is on Props and Drops. 19 votes, 52% say yes, which means you have, I'm sorry, I apologize, not 10 fans. By the way, real quick, quickly behind that, 36.8% said, who is Herm?
I think what really is the test is you should retweet that.
What would your solo podcast be about?
I think I would call it Derailed, and I would just go on for an hour with no agenda and just see where it goes.
I would listen. I don't consume any content. That would be something I would watch.
Yeah.
You would?
Herm, you're one of my favorite people on earth. Think about that. There's 8 billion people, and as a quality person with good intent, works hard, has great people skills, has really good intent for him, for the people he collaborates with as an employee. I know how you talk about DK as a partner with us when you're the client, and we need to be doing that as a for yourself, for your family, for your brother AJ, for Baker and good friends, for people for future. Like Baker. I think you're one of the great navigators of being a human on earth on October 6, 2022. I believe that to be true. I meet a lot of people. I think you are a high quality individual.
I'm waiting for it. Matt, what's coming
up? Yeah, it could be like a Truman Show type of concept with you being Truman. Jim Carrey, basically.
I like how you were fishing for Kalish to talk about where the shoe was going to drop. He just went on a tangent back to something we talked about four minutes ago.
Yeah, he knew it was going to drop. He was trying to save me.
Yeah.
That was very nice, Gary.
I really believe it in my heart. I got to tell the truth. It's what I feel.
This is a big moment. Let's clip this in 3 years. Are we done with sports cards?
Yeah, I think we look. We made our point.
I guess I would say this: if you want to get into sport, I like talking from the man of the people.
Google, if you want to get into sports cards, Google, eBay, YouTube, search whatever's on your mind, watch it.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing here, which is like 2022 sports card, when you're not, because part of eBay and price shopping and whatever, following the market. Implicit in that is like you're trying to get good prices on cards. There's a whole nother world of cards, which is the world that I find myself constantly going into, which is like very stupid from like a money standpoint, but very fun, is Whatnot. Have you ever used Whatnot and did pack breaks? Because that is like
They're doing a great job.
Oh my God. It might be one of my favorite new platforms I've seen. Like really, really cool. And so you go on and you can just like bid on packs that there's a breaker just sitting there with the box, and you can real time like bid it, and then they'll open it for you and ship it out. You're probably paying some kind of like 50% premium at least, but it's like if you want to open a pack now, you could just do it, you know?
Herm, let's go into props, because I've got a little bit of an emergency that just popped up and I want to get out of here in 10 minutes.
Oh, I love emergencies. Okay, we hit on Jets trending up, Wilson's back. We hit on Pats trending down. I just figured out how to hit on that. NFL's wide open right now. Eagles right now look like not only the last undefeated team, but they look really strong. Their line is absurd. Stresses me out as a Giants fan, but they look good. Do we want to talk anything NFL? I think what happened with Tua is like really alarming. I think seeing that last hit on Thursday Night Football last week was like honestly hard to watch the rest of the game for me.
Yeah, of course, super hard. I mean, it just really sucks. Thank God he's okay. And it really stinks. He's a great kid. I hate the Dolphins, so I have to hate him, but not real life. It's all sports hate. Mac Jones is a great kid, by the way. I like him a lot, but I hate him, you know, that stuff. But like, he's the best and seemingly he's doing solid. But like, yeah, I mean, the league is going to get more conservative in this. That's great. As they should.
All right, I'm keep going.
Yeah, it seems like, because I was following Tua pretty close, because he's on my best ball team, so I'm of course keeping up. Like the game before, when he was all stumbly and kind of, they said it was his back, but that was not back, that was like brain. So to me, I looked at him like stumbling. When you see somebody that looks drunk on the football field after getting hit, you're like, that dude probably has a concussion. So anyway. Like, certainly no doctor, but
that stuff is well doc. I mean, like, that's been beat to death. I think let's go on a lighter rail. Aaron Judge, 62. So that's good for Yankee fans, good for baseball, gets a little juices going. The NBA though, what a product.
Hold on, Aaron Judge. There's a good question in here. If you guys caught the ball, what would you do with it?
I'd sell it.
Would only you hold because it for a little while, then sell it?
I don't know. I mean, if I caught it, it would have a magnifier because it's me. If you caught it, it'd be $2 million. With me, it's $4 million. And I need that $4 million to sell.
Oh, what? Hold on. You think if you catch it, it's more money?
Yes.
That is not true.
That's 100% true.
Some random redhead catches it versus Gary Vaynerchuk catches it.
If I caught it, the ball would go for more money than if her.
Yeah, it's called provenance, man.
Of course.
Ever heard of provenance?
100%.
That would matter. 100%.
There's not even a debate on this. And by the way, fuck me. I'm talking about anybody who has audience. Not about me. I'm just talking about anybody who has audience. If Logan Paul caught it, if Kalish caught it, it would be more than you, Herm.
I like that. Yeah. All right, got it. So you would sell it, Matt.
All the articles would be like DraftKings co-founder or founding. For media, they'd be like DraftKings founder catches Judge ball. Like that just adds to the lore. If you caught it, they'd be like weird Jersey kid catches ball.
Yeah, that's a really awkward situation. If it was specifically Aaron Judge, I would 100% keep it. Like, one, I don't think it's fair, which I've said many times, I don't think it's fair that New York has two teams in every sport and Boston only has one team in every sport.
Because Boston's a pimple of the ass of New York. So
for every, like, one you know, every time we get like a Larry Bird, New York has two chances to find a Larry Bird because they're fishing from
Boston. Boston, you guys should get two teams. Do it. Yeah.
We can't.
Just so you know, I would rather have one team, for the record. Like, I love that Gary and I are both Knicks fans. I don't love that.
You could argue you have three hockey teams too if you claim the Devils. I don't know if you're claiming the Devils as New York, but.
Yeah, anyway,
I was thinking it's like, so I'm inherently like not impressed by Aaron Judge or Yankees at all.
Love that.
That being said, like if it was somebody that I had more affinity towards, like not a Yankee, I probably would give them the ball for the relationship. If it was like Jason Tatum or something, I'd be like, yo, here's your ball. Like, here you go. You're my favorite, you know?
I love that. I respect
no
that.
No problem. So yeah, it's really just
I would sell it and buy CryptoPunks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And this is no hate on it. Like, I actually think Aaron Judge come across like a super A-plus person. I don't.
By the way, you're also saying that because there's like a 63% chance he's at Red Sox next year.
Yeah, yeah. No. We've heard that there is a chance of that.
No, what?
That is absurd. He's obviously, Yankees are obviously paying him, and he's obviously staying.
Yeah. There's so little interest.
What happens if the Red Sox offer $60 million a year?
It doesn't matter. There's no amount of money that doesn't get him to come back.
That's a ludicrous. By the way, you're going to be without Saquon and Judge next year.
I know Saquon's not coming back. I think he gets traded to the Bills this season.
Why? You're 3-1. You already fucked that up.
Why? Right, he gets traded. The
trade deadline, you're going to be a 500 football team in the trade deadline. You're not going to trade. You're going to go for the playoffs. This head coach is trying to build a culture. You're not trading Saquon now. You blew it.
All right, I'm going
to
hit you.
I would argue it didn't blow it. I love Saquon.
No, but you blew the opportunity to trade him because you're not going to be able to trade him now. You're not going to do it. Go ahead, Kalish. Let's wrap this up. What do you got? You got something good.
Parting words. Aaron Judge, next team odds. This is from 2 weeks ago, so things changed.
That's good. God.
Mets 3-1, Dodgers 4-1, Red Sox 5-1, Astros, Rangers, and Blue Jays are like 7-1.
I think the Mets thing is going to happen.
Oh, what about the Yankees?
On the record. Next team.
On the record,
I'm 100% sure that he's going to be a Met because this owner is a psycho alpha competitive dude, and it's the ultimate move. And he wants to set the tone for the Mets franchise. Actually, it's unfair. They could win the World Series this year. I know they're in the wild card. They could be out by the time this airs. But if they don't win the World Series, Aaron Judge is a Met. Clip it.
Good use of clip it. Nice, Gary. All right, we'll do the show wrap. Head to the DK Marketplace. Pick up some Sly Crocs dropping today, October 11th. Fun. Today, October 11th.
The Mets could actually be eliminated.
Yep. Let's see if that actually happened. Epic content. And then Rainmakers, obviously, get your free roster full starter pack at DraftKings Marketplace. Go check this thing out. It's about time you checked it out. Discord at Rainmakers, Twitter. You know where to find everybody.
Yeah. And my last parting words are shortly. New York has two good sports teams, and they're both in baseball, so you're clearly a cursed city in sports.
And all of a sudden, we're in the NBA.
I can't wait for the NBA. I was about to say
all
real
right,
quick.
Bye, everybody.
We'll give you the Nets. Oh. The Nets are good.
My parting words, the NBA has a crazy product. I was, like, jazzed to watch preseason basketball last night.
It's no different. It's no worse than regular season. I was at both games. It's the same. I'm in love with
love you, boys. See ya.